This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and once again, we welcome you to the program and thank you for tuning us in. We trust the program is a help and a blessing to you. Now, again, if you want to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can contact me either way, and you can re-listen to this program on the website. The website also has a weekly meditation that you might find helpful, as well as other information, tracks, testimonies, questions and answers. You might want to take a look at the website. Now, we're meandering through the book of Genesis, and we've gotten to this most interesting story of Joseph, who is definitely a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've noticed as we've looked at Joseph that he is rejected by his brethren. We notice that he is loved by his father. He was given a coat of many colors, which represented favoritism as well as, in one sense, royalty. We know that he was sold into Egypt. His brothers wanted to destroy him, and they were originally going to murder him, but instead of murdering him, they ended up selling him into Egypt, where he became a slave. But he was a slave that was trusted, and even though he was a slave that was trusted, he was charged with a crime he did not do. And that's exactly what the Jews did to the Lord Jesus. They said that he was blaspheming when he said he was the Son of God, and because he was blaspheming, they said he ought to be crucified. According to their law, he ought to die. But in the case of the Lord, he was the Son of God, and he was not blaspheming. But they, again, he was charged with this sin. Joseph was charged with this sin by his master's wife, which he did not commit. And now, through the providence of God, he has been elevated to the second in command with regard to the land of Egypt. And he is a wise leader. He's been told by God that there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. So he laid up in the good years for the bad years. And in the bad years now, his brethren from Israel have to come and buy food. And in the story, we are in their second trip. They've come once, and because Joseph has seen them and he wants to make sure they come back, he has kept their brother Simeon in prison. Now, this is all in review. He's kept their brother Simeon in prison, and now they're coming back, but he said, don't come back without Benjamin, who was his full brother by Isaac's wife, or by Jacob's wife, Rachel. And so he wanted to see Benjamin. And as we come into the story, I want to read part of Genesis chapter 44. Now, we might just remember that this is all leading up right now, as far as the program that I am producing is concerned, this is leading up to a holiday that the world calls Christmas, and it represents the birth of the Lord Jesus. And when we look at the birth of the Lord Jesus, people did not expect the Lord to fulfill the messianic prophecies the way he did, but he did fulfill them. They would call his name Jesus, that is, Savior, because he would save his people from their sins. That's a name from the Old Testament, Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. He came at the right time. He came to the right place. He was born the way God said he would be born. And in his birth, there was sorrow for the children 2 years old and younger, because even Herod must have believed there was something to the prophecies associated with the coming Messiah. And he queried the wise men carefully to find out when the Lord was born and where. And yet, when they went back another way without revealing all of that to him, he tried to destroy the children 2 years old and younger. I often wonder about us talking about a Merry Christmas when it seems as though everything associated with the birth of the Lord Jesus had to do with poverty, rejection, and sorrow. Everything except, of course, for the believers and for the shepherds who were rejoicing in the fact that God was now fulfilling his prophecy and that a Messiah was coming. But there was so much sorrow in the Lord's life and in the lives of those connected with the Lord that I always wonder a little bit about our wise use of the word merry at Christmas time. It seems to me that it's a time to reflect on the sin that we need to be saved from, and that ought to be a time of sorrow and repentance. And godly sorrow will work repentance that leads to salvation. And so we're thankful for the Lord coming, even though he wasn't recognized, and we're thankful that he came according to prophecy, and we're thankful that he's available as the Savior of sinners. Wise men from Iraq sought him, while the Jews rejected him. And so as we look at the story of Joseph, we see aspects of the life of the Lord in the life of Joseph, this rejection by his brothers, this sorrow in his life, this elevation to a kingly position in Egypt, his exaltation there still must have been with some sorrow, having been separated from his family, although it also was with some glory, and we know that. But nevertheless, Joseph fulfilled the prophecies that had been given to him about the fact that one day his father and his mother and his brothers and his sisters would bow down to him. And now we're coming to the culmination of that. And I just want to read then from Genesis chapter 44, verse 21. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me. Now, Joseph's brethren have been sent back home, but Joseph put a silver cup in Benjamin's sack, and then sent his steward to go get that silver cup and use it as an excuse to bring those brethren back. And sometimes we don't realize what all is happening when things seem to be going against us, but oftentimes as things are going against us, it's God's working out a plan of blessing in our lives. And that was the case when Joseph sent for Benjamin to bring them back, because he wanted the whole family to come down and be protected in the land of Egypt during this period of the famine. So they are talking to Joseph now, and they said, then you said to your servants, bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father. For if he should leave his father would die. But you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go back and buy us a little food. But we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to your servant my father, and the lad is not with us, since my life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant our father with sorrow to the grave. Remember, Joseph was saying, I want to keep Benjamin here. You can go back. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now therefore, please, let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his fathers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father? And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, as we look at this passage, we can see that a change has taken place. Originally, the brothers hated Joseph. Benjamin was probably not with them when they were keeping the sheep, and they hated Joseph, and they envied Joseph, and they were like the scribes and the Pharisees that envied the Lord, because he was getting a following, and he spoke with authority, and he spoke with grace. And so we know that they wanted at that time to destroy Joseph. And so they wanted to kill Joseph, but when it came time to bring Benjamin back to Egypt, they wanted to save Benjamin. And now they're trying to preserve the son who is left of that union with Rachel. And obviously he's a loved son, and actually it would appear again that he might be a preferred son. It appears that Rachel was the wife that he really loved, and Leah was the wife that he was given and that he produced most of his children with. But nevertheless, Leah was the love of his life, or Rachel was the love of his life, and the children from Rachel were children that he apparently had the most love for. Now, I'm not saying that that's right. I'm saying, as a matter of fact, that that's not right. We should love all of our children equally, but sometimes it's hard to do that. But I find it interesting that where before they had decided they wanted to destroy Joseph, now they're doing everything in their power to save Benjamin, and that's a good sign. But the better sign is that they realize that they've done wrong, and they're recognizing and saying before Joseph that they had killed him and that they had done wrong by Joseph. And Joseph is hearing this. And where there is confession, there is always blessing. And so as we look at this passage, we can see that they were confessing their sin. And because they were confessing their sin, Joseph was willing to forgive them. I wonder how many of us today would be willing to forgive relatives who had wronged us the way that Joseph had been wronged. And so there was forgiveness, and there is preservation. There's two kinds of salvation in this story. There's the salvation that reunites them in their fellowship with Joseph, just as we who are born again have our sins forgiven and are brought into fellowship with God and are given a new home in heaven. These people are going to be given a new home in the land of Goshen, where they'll be protected and preserved, a land that has really been set aside for shepherds, since Egyptians did not like shepherds. And so there's a place that because of that forgiveness, they were saved in a physical way. And we would look at that from the standpoint of the New Testament as being saved in a spiritual way for the blessings of heaven. But there was preservation. And when the Lord saves people, he keeps his people. And that's a blessing that sometimes we fail to tell people about when they are saved. When you're saved, you become a child of God, and God does not forsake his children. Things happen in our lives we often don't understand. But God does not forsake his children. He loves his children, and he takes care of his children. We're called his sheep. We're called his children. We're called his bride, and we have a special preferred place in his sight. And so Joseph became a savior, and he became a preserver. And if we will receive the Lord who died on an old rugged cross, not just one who came as a baby in Bethlehem's manger, but one who proved himself to be the Son of God and died on the old rugged cross, and then was raised from the dead and promises he's coming again, he'll become our Savior as well in an eternal sense, and he'll become our preservation in this life. I hope you have trusted him as your Savior. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program. We thank thee for thy love, for thy Son, for thy word, for thy promises, which are yea and amen. They are sure. We thank thee for all that thou hast provided for us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.